From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. It is Friday, and Sarah Perry is not here. I'm sure that you have enjoyed hearing from Sarah at the end of each week. I know that I have. But as we've experienced with greater frequency here at FRC, she has become one of the many talented minds and voices to move into the Trump administration. So Sarah will be now be a part of the Trump administration, and we send her off with our blessing and certainly grateful for the tremendous contribution she has made to FRC, and it's been great having her as a backup host and our Friday host. But today, we are beginning something new on Fridays. Our Friday program is going to take on a little different focus. You know, each day, we take you behind the major headlines to hear from the newsmakers themselves, unfiltered by the media. I just ask the questions that you would probably ask. Now, I have the opportunity of personally knowing most of those that you regularly hear on Washington Watch. I know what led them to Washington. I know what motivates them to get up each and every morning to fight the battles for faith, family, and freedom. And I want you to get to know them as well, to know more about their faith journey with the Lord and their passion for defending freedom. So today, we launch Faith and Freedom Fridays, which will be less about the policies and the politics and more about the personal story of the various leaders and what led them into their public role. The website, as always, is TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Same if you're on Parler, at T. Perkins. And by the way, before we jump into this, man, I just want to remind you, if you've not yet signed up for our Stand Courageous live stream next Saturday, August the 15th, you can find the link at TonyPerkins.com. Now, this is one we're doing nationwide. It's actually going to be in my hometown of Baton Rouge, but we're live streaming it. So no matter where you are, you can participate, but you've got to register. So go to TonyPerkins.com and find out more about how you can be a part of the Stand Courageous Conference on August the 15th. All right, let me start by telling you a little bit about our first guest. Congressman Ken Buck represents Colorado's 4th Congressional District. He was first elected to Congress in November of 2014. He is currently serving his third term in the United States House of Representatives. Now, Ken serves on the House Judiciary Committee and the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He serves as the ranking member on the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Immigration and Citizenship. He also serves on the Subcommittee on Antitrust, Commercial and Administrative Law. He also serves on the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittees on Oversight and Investigations and Western Hemisphere Civilian Security and Trade. So he stays busy. Now, Ken, he learned the value of hard work, he says, from his grandfather, who opened a shoe repair store in Greeley in the 1930s. One of three brothers, Ken worked his way through high school, college, and law school as a janitor, a truck driver, furniture mover, and a ranch hand. After law school, Ken worked for Congressman Dick Cheney on the Iran-Contra investigation and then became a prosecutor with the U.S. Department of Justice. In 1990, Ken joined the Colorado U.S. Attorney's Office, where he became the chief of the criminal division. Starting in 2004, Ken was elected Weld County District Attorney three times. He led a staff of more than 60 people with a strong record of criminal prosecution and crime prevention. Under his leadership, the crime rate in Weld County dropped 50%, one of the best records in the country. Ken is a Christian and a leader in his profession and community. As district attorney, Ken brought together community leaders to create the Juvenile Assessment Center. The center has helped more than 2,000 kids and their families get back on the right path in life. Ken's son, Cody, graduated from West Point and is a U.S. Army officer. Ken's daughter, Caitlin, is a business executive in Colorado after she graduated from Clemson University. And we are honored to have with us today Congressman Ken Buck. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's great to be with you.
Now, Ken, you've written a book, a very timely, almost prophetic book entitled Capital of Freedom, Restoring American Greatness. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first things first, let's talk about the role of your Christian faith in your public walk and what led you to Washington, D.C.
Well, it's a great question. My faith really guides me throughout all aspects of my life. And I had cancer in 2013. And when I recovered from that cancer, I was told by the doctor I had stage four cancer. I had tumors all over my body, on the bones of my body, different organs of my body. And when I, after 3 weeks or after my third chemo, I had a PET scan, and the doctor said, I've never seen anything like this before. This cancer is gone completely, and you are cured. It's not, it's very rare that an oncologist will tell someone that they are cured, but that was the report I got from my doctor. And I finished my chemo regimen and decided to run for Congress and won a seat. And I really believe that I am here to do something, not to win re-election, not to play party politics, but to do something that is so important in this country, and that is really to focus on the blessings that this country received at our founding, and to try to make sure that we receive that we are appreciative of those, and that we don't turn our back on our Creator, our God, who gave us those blessings and allowed us to live in this wonderful country.
You know, that's fascinating. I know that I read where you said that the outcome when you were diagnosed with cancer was ultimately in God's hand, and you were at peace with that. You know, and the freedom that comes from that is like Jesus when he called his disciples, said, you know, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. There's a tremendous freedom when we walk, not just in the spiritual realm, you know, with that freedom, but even in politics, when you know that God has called you for a purpose and there's freedom, when you've basically, when you got stage four cancer, that's not good news. But when God delivers you from that and heals you from that, there's a freedom to walk trusting totally and completely in Him.
And Tony, there's also a certain freedom in knowing that in appreciating all the things that are around. So many times we're on this path and we don't even take time to smell the roses. We don't take time to appreciate a sunset. We don't take time to interact with some people in our lives that we should spend more time with. Cancer is one of those things. Chemo is a miserable experience. And I was laying in bed and praying and reading the book and just understanding, what the different options were, what was going to happen in my life. I knew that I if I got through this, if I was given more time on this earth, that I would be more appreciative. And that's one of the things when you realize that our rights in this country are given to us by God, people can't take those rights away. And I think it's so fundamental to our values in this country that government should stay within its proper scope. And that combined with my appreciation for the extra time that I have on this earth is really what drives me in Washington, D.C.
Ken, before we move on to how that faith kind of informs kind of your values and your policy decisions, I mean, you know, having gone through cancer like you did, in fact, my wife is just going through breast cancer. So we've experienced that in our family. My father has cancer, and so we're dealing with that. But when having gone through that and knowing that there are those listening today who are either battling a health issue themselves or trying to support loved ones, what would you say to them?
Well, I'd say have faith. It's really not in our control, but I think that the positive attitude and the knowledge that we are called to be here for a reason and to be in tune with the calling that we have, I think is so important. I have to tell you, Tony, I ran for the U.S. Senate in 2010, and I was not successful in that run. But in the years following that, I had so many people come up to me and talk to me about how they changed their views on abortion or how they came to the Lord as a result of our campaign, that I saw something. I thought I had let down my supporters and let down those that cared so much about me because I didn't win. What I learned was that maybe my role wasn't to win. Maybe my role was to help educate people, to open their eyes to different things. And I think it's so valuable for people to understand that as someone is suffering through cancer, there are other reasons and other agendas or other things going on in this world that we just can't comprehend. And so I would just encourage people to have faith.
That is so good. When we have an eternal perspective, that we see not just a snapshot of life of this moment, but the whole picture and that leads into eternity. I like you, I ran for the U.S. Senate back in 2000 and too lost that race and thought, well, you know, why did this happen? And it is a letdown. It's discouraging. A lot of people believe in you, help you, support you, volunteer, they give money, they do all these things. But then I would have never gone to the Family Research Council. And you probably would have never ran for Congress as a result of this. So God has these, you know, he has a bigger plan, and sometimes it's a matter of just trusting him to work out those steps.
Absolutely. And I think it's not really part of human nature, and it's not really part of American culture. But the more time we spend in the Word and more time we spend in fellowship, the more our understanding grows that our design on our lives are laughable when you look at it in the perspective of our God preparing the way for us and calling us to do things.
Well, and that's what I want to get into next, Ken. But we're almost up against the break, so I don't want to jump into it. But I want to give our listeners a taste of what we want to talk about next, the role of faith. When you Capitol Hill's a tough place, Washington's a tough place, what role does that play? The Word of God, prayer, meditation, fellowship. I think people, when I tell people the number of Christian men and women who have been called to Congress, they're shocked. But there is a strong presence here on Capitol Hill, and we want to talk about that next. Ken, stick with us. Don't go away. Ken Buck, my guest, congressman from 4th District of Colorado, on this Faith and Freedom Friday, talking more about what motivates the men and women who, you know, they put up with a lot to serve in public office. And they do so not for personal gain, but to serve a greater purpose and cause. And faith is at the center of that. We're going to continue our conversation with Congressman Ken Buck on the other side of the break. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back after this.
Do Christians have a biblical obligation to participate in government? Do Christians have a duty to vote? And if so, what principles should inform them while casting their ballots? How should pastors think about politics, and how can they shepherd their congregations well during an election season? The gospel of Jesus Christ has implications for all areas of our life, including politics. Christians must be prepared to grapple with the moral issues of our day, the reality of our two-party system, and follow our Christian convictions to their logical end by voting for candidates that support clear biblical values. Family Research Council has partnered with 21 state family policy councils for a new edition of Biblical Principles for Political Engagement. This booklet provides biblical wisdom and clear answers to pivotal questions to help you navigate the political landscape. This publication exists to facilitate careful thinking about issues and encourage God-honoring political engagement that filters all issues and candidates through a biblical worldview. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/engage.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man, wherever books are sold.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh, yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. Checking it out now.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. It's Friday. It's Faith and Freedom Friday. We're taking a step behind the scenes, going beyond the politics and the policies to talk to the people, the men and women who make the policies. But what motivates them? What brings them to Washington, D.C.? What gets them up each and every morning to face, you know, quite frankly, sometimes very, very difficult situations? Our guest, Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado, we were just talking in the previous segment about how the Lord brought him through cancer, stage 4 cancer. He was healed, free, ran for Congress a year later. He's now on his third term in Congress. He's written a new book. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Ken, I want to go back to this issue of faith. And you talked about how to get through those challenging health issues, like you did with cancer. You got to stay in the Word. You got to believe what God has to say, and not what our own mind would tell us or what the world would speak to us. But we got to hold on to the truth. How does that translate into this world in which we live in Washington, D.C., of the rough and tumble of politics in America today, and a nation that is so divided?
Well, for me, it's very simple, Tony. I think when I feel political pressure, when someone from Republican leadership or Democrat leadership or a chairman of a committee or even a powerful lobbyist or representative from an association, when they threaten me or when they suggest that, you know, they're going to beat me in the next election, I don't care. You know, I'm not here to represent the political party. I'm not here to represent a constituent group of or a particular lobbyist position. And I know my calling is from someplace else. And I know I sleep very well at night, every night, knowing that my guidance comes from a higher calling, a higher being. And I just think that faith for many of us in the House is the reason not only that we're here, but it's the reason that we come back, and it's the reason that we vote the way we do, because I have no interest in serving an earthly master.
Talk about that for a moment, about the presence of Christian faith on Capitol Hill, because a lot of people are shocked. I have to say, I've seen a lot in the last 17 years that I've been here, my perception is that more and more believers are being called to Washington, D.C. Did that surprise you, the number of genuine believers on Capitol Hill when you arrived?
In some ways, it did surprise me, and I have just grown to respect some members like Jody Heiss from Georgia and friends of mine. I lived at a Christian home on Capitol Hill for the first few years that I was in Congress, and we had a Tuesday night dinner every Tuesday night, and just to see the people that would come into that dinner, and sometimes we would have difficult conversations about how we missed our family or how we missed our community, and these grown men would be crying because they realized how difficult this life is, and yet how important it is that they follow what they have been called to do. And so very impactful to see and feel the support of other Christians in this particular walk.
From that perspective, you know, having people back in your districts, and I have a schedule very similar to that of Congress. I fly back and forth from Washington back to my home in Louisiana and interact with, you know, normal people on weekends. And, you know, to hear people say, we're praying for you. Those prayers really do matter, don't they?
Absolutely. I have to tell you, it's rare that I go into the supermarket where I don't have a believer come up to me and say that. I also... It will sometimes take, Tony, over an hour for me to get a gallon of milk because it seems like I'm conducting a town hall meeting every time I walk into the supermarket. But it really is, it helps my morale. It lifts me as an individual to know that people are watching what I do and they appreciate what I do. And I would just encourage all believers that if they see an elected official, and can lift that elected official up, whether they agree with the policies or not. The point is they respect the sacrifice and they respect the system that we are operating in.
Of course, Scripture instructs us as believers to pray for those in authority, those that hold those positions, and so we should do that, period. But it makes it a lot easier when we realize that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are serving in these roles, who desire our prayers, who need our prayers, and are desperately trying to do the right thing and seek the guidance from the Lord. And agreeing with him in prayer is a powerful thing. So that's one of the reasons for this Friday focus on faith and freedom, is to let people know, look, there are brothers and sisters in Christ that desire and need your prayers.
Absolutely, and I can speak to that personally, and I can also speak to that and the members that I talk to of the House and Senate, and how much they appreciate the prayers. They appreciate it when someone comes up and says that I've been praying for you, but most of us feel the prayers. We know when someone says it, but we also know that there are so many out there that we don't meet with. We don't see by happenstance, but we do feel the awesome support that we are receiving.
Ken, you hear that music. We're up against another break. When we come back on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about your book, Capital of Freedom, Restoring American Greatness, just released. And I'll have to tell you, it was like a prophetic book. I mean, it talked about stuff that we see happening now on the streets of America, but it points us back to the very foundation and to the keys of what makes America an exceptional nation. So stick with me, Ken. And folks, you stick with us as well. Ken Buck, Congressman from Colorado, the 4th Congressional District. New book out. We're going to be talking about it next here on Washington Watch on this Friday edition. Don't go away.
Oh, man.
What's wrong?
I just missed Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and our congressman was going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
What do you mean?
Well, you can always catch the replay of the day's show.
How's that?
With the Stand Firm app.
Yeah?
Yep, you can catch that day's program and so much more. You can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes while conveniently going about your day. You can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on the main feed, so you can stay up to date on local and national news.
Wow, I definitely use that. How do you find the app?
Just visit frc.org/app and download, or search Stand Firm in the App Store.
Okay, that's Stand Firm.
Yep, Stand Firm.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a SageCon, but that's another story.
Huh?
Are you looking to grow closer in your relationship with Jesus and in your knowledge of God's Word? Family Research Council has released a new 3-part series titled Three Ways to Read the Bible. In this series, Patrina Mosley, FRC's Director of Life, Culture, and Women's Advocacy, shares helpful ways to be encouraged and directed by God's truth through studying and applying the Bible's text. Now's the time to get to know God through His Word by looking into the Bible and learning what it says about God, humanity, and the power of Scripture. During this season of isolation, devote time to the Lord and seek out His meaning for you. In times of crisis and any time, this blog series is a great primer on opening your eyes and heart to Him through His Word. Check out this helpful resource and learn how to read the Bible with not just your eyes, but your heart. To learn more, visit frcblog.com. That's frcblog.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com, and it's our first Faith and Freedom Friday, stepping back from the politics and the policies and talking to the people, the men and women who serve in these important roles of leadership, both here in our nation's capital, Washington, but you'll be hearing from leaders across the country. Today, Ken Buck, Congressman of Colorado, my guest, and earlier this week released a new book entitled Capital of Freedom, Restoring American Greatness. The book tells the story of how our nation's founders carefully designed a political system that would guard against tyranny and protect individual liberty. Now, using the Capitol and its features as the backdrop, Ken shows how our heritage as a free people is woven into every institution in America, and how progressives are attempting to undermine individual liberty. And the book offers clear recommendations for steps that liberty-minded Americans can take to reverse the progressive damage that is being done to our country. Now, Congressman, a lot of the principles that you address in this book are the very ones that are under attack today. I mean, this has been amplified in the last few months following the pandemic and the civil unrest that's taking place on the streets. It's been remarkable to see how easily folks are willing to give up the freedoms that our founders set in place for us. Tell me, what was the motivation for writing this book?
Well, I am fortunate enough to give tours to my constituents and others in the evenings, and I have taken tours myself with scholars like David Barton and his son Tim and the House historian and the architect of the Capitol and so many. And I have done a lot of research because I'm really a student of history and enjoy it so much that I have learned about the different features of the Capitol. And I was really struck by how many of those features represent the constitutional principles, the founding principles that have made this country great. And also struck by how the progressives have consistently moved away from those founding principles. And they realize they can't impose their socialist, godless agenda on this country if we continue to respect our Constitution. And so they need to rewrite history. They need to rewrite our Constitution. And I felt compelled to write this book. I turned it into the publisher last Thanksgiving, And everything that's happened since then has made the book more and more relevant.
I would say, without question. And I think what it does, from my perspective, is that it equips believers, Americans, those who love this country, with the tools they need to stand up against this agenda. I mean, the introduction of your book, you tell one of my favorite stories of American history, and it's the story of John Quincy Adams, the only president to, after serving president, ran for Congress and motivated to end slavery. I mean, he died in the House chamber. I mean, he gave his life to serve a greater cause. And those are the stories we don't hear about our history. We only hear the bad things.
Yeah, we should celebrate our history. One of the, I think, foundational principles of my faith is that I am a flawed person, and that's why I seek my salvation from a great and gracious God, and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given me that path to follow. I think it's so important that we understand that our founders were flawed people. They may have been slave owners. They may have done other things that were fundamentally wrong, but they created the greatest country in the history of the world, and they gave us the greatest freedoms that any people in this world enjoy to this day.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we celebrate the good as well as recognize the bad.
Well, first off, if we only built statues to perfect people, there would be no statues.
Well, there'd be one.
Well, Jesus Christ. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. There would be no other. So our history is the story of flawed people, but it's also the story of redemption. And that we can get it right with the help of God. And that's why I also think, Ken, that faith, Christian faith, is under attack in this country because it is the remedy.
Right. Absolutely. And the Capitol speaks to faith in so many ways, Tony. I bring people to the crypt where George Washington was supposed to be buried, and he made it very clear in his will that he didn't want to be buried in the Capitol. He wanted to be buried in Mount Vernon, so he's not. But it is the center point of Washington, D.C. You can put your foot down in the star in the crypt, and you will be in southeast, southwest, northeast, northwest all at one time. And above the crypt is the dome. And inside the dome, there is a painting of a likeness of George Washington and his spirit being carried to heaven by the angels, the apotheosis of George Washington. Clearly a demonstration of our religious roots and our just understanding that how important it is to have freedom of religion. Those symbols are all over the Capitol,
right.
And I talk about them on my tour because it's so important as people try to tear down our religious freedom that we're really reinforced, knowing that our founders and so many other Americans feel strong about it.
Right. And the only way to protect that freedom is to exercise that freedom. Congressman Ken Buck, we're out of time. Have enjoyed this conversation. We're going to have a link on the website, TonyPerkins.com, where folks can get a copy of your book. Thanks so much for spending this Friday afternoon with us.
Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate it.
Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Get a copy of this book. All right. Don't go away. Coming back with another member of Congress after this.
The rapidly changing moral landscape of the 21st century presents a challenge for Christians committed to biblical sexual ethics. An uprising against morality has overturned centuries of norms concerning the family, marriage, and human sexuality. Secular culture is not the only challenger of Christian sexual ethics. Increasingly, theologically liberal churches and denominations are rejecting the church's historic teaching on marriage. As a result, Christians are facing increased pressure to compromise the Bible's teaching on human sexuality. How should Christians who are committed to God's Word respond to these challenges? What does the Bible teach about sexuality? Family Research Council has a new publication that presents the biblical principles for human sexuality. It lays out a survey of culture, scripture, and church history that will help pastors and all Christians meet modern-day challenges to biblical sexuality with truth and love. To access this publication, visit frc.org/sexuality. Again, that's frc.org/sexuality.
In today's culture, it can be difficult for men to navigate what it means to be a man and to find clear models of masculinity and manhood. There are many competing ideas out there and even confusion around the basic concepts of gender and sex. Where can boys, young men, husbands, and fathers find a model of manhood, leadership, and strength in today's culture of confusion? This is Tony Perkins inviting you to join me at a Stand Courageous Men's Conference led by men who are seasoned, compassionate leaders who understand the issues of the day. These issues will invest in unpacking our role as defenders, providers, instructors, and battle buddies so that men can have generational influence as a chaplain inside and outside the home. Join us at one of our upcoming events in Texas, Louisiana, Florida, or Virginia. Learn more about Stand Courageous and find an event near you at StandCourageous.com. That's StandCourageous.com. StandCourageous.com.
With horrifying acceleration in recent years, verified reports of murders, rapes, mutilations, and kidnapping of Christians in Nigeria have persistently increased. These attacks are frequently accompanied by the torching of homes, churches, villages, and agricultural fields. A July 15, 2020 headline reports that over 1,000 Nigerian Christians were killed in the first 6 months of 2020. This is in addition to 11,000 Christians who have been killed since June 2015. News stories about the assaults in Nigeria are rarely reported in mainstream media outlets. But when they are, they're regularly explained away as effects of climate change, local feuds, or religious wars for which both sides bear equal responsibility. For more information about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria, read FRC's publication, The Crisis of Christian Persecution in Nigeria, at frc.org/Nigeria.
Welcome back to the Faith and Freedom Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. Now, if you're just tuning in, we heard earlier from Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado, who shared a powerful testimony about overcoming cancer and how his faith in the health journey led him to run for Congress. Well, now I'm excited to introduce to you one of the newer members of Congress, elected just last year in a special election after Congressman Walter Jones, a longtime representative of North Carolina's 3rd Congressional District, passed away. Walter was a good friend. He represents, or that district includes the Marines, which I have a connection with. Well, running after, against 16 other Republicans, Congressman Greg Murphy came in first in the primary, but had to compete in a runoff 2 months later. He won the runoff by more than 20 points and won the general election 2 months later with 61% of the vote. Dr. Murphy is originally from Raleigh, graduated with honors from the UNCA School of Medicine. After doing his residency in urology at the University of Kentucky in Lexington, he and his wife settled in Greenville, North Carolina to begin practice. He served in the North Carolina House of Representatives from 2015 to 2019, where he was the primary sponsor of both the STOP Act and the HOPE Act, North Carolina's two main legislative actions to combat the opioid crisis. He and his wife, Wendy, have 3 children. And outside of work, he has traveled extensively for the last 35 years to third world countries, including India, several parts of Africa, Nicaragua, and into Haiti on medical mission trips. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. I hope you're well.
Doing quite well. And thank you for taking time on this Friday afternoon just to join us. To go beyond the politics and the policy and talk about the personal side of what motivates you. And before I get into the role faith and how that led you to your public service. I have to ask you this question because you're one of the newest members of Congress. What were your first impressions as you arrived on Capitol Hill during this very unique season in American history?
Well, Tony, it's been quite an auspicious experience so far. I was sworn in on September 17th, and if you recall, that was just in the middle or just the beginning of the impeachment proceedings. So my experience in Congress in the last 9 months has been filled with the endless attacks on the president and the impeachment proceedings, and then the worst pandemic that the modern United States has ever faced. So it's been, as I've been told by fellow members, a very, very atypical experience so far. So it's been quite challenging, to say the least.
So, in other words, if you can survive this, you can survive anything.
That's right.
It is a unique time in American history, and I would say that to make sense of all of it and to keep a positive, hopeful attitude, it's almost impossible, in my view, to do so without having a deep, abiding faith. Talk about your faith journey and the role that that has played in where you are today.
Well, Tony, my life, I would say I've been blessed. I've had many, many challenges in my life. My dad passed away when I was young and essentially raised in a single-parent household. And I've had many challenges, but God has been gracious to me throughout my entire life. I married a beautiful woman. We have three beautiful children, and I've been blessed to have a good career. But I think in doing so, we have to settle back on all our challenging times and realize that we are not in control. There are certain things that God gives us that we make decisions on, but it is ultimately in God's hands. And that's the way, you know, I've treated tragedy. That's the way I've dealt with adversity. You know, we can talk a little bit about some of the mission trips I've been on, how I see God's face in so many desperate situations. But that's the only way that, to be very honest with you, I can still make sense of the challenges and the tragedy that are facing our nation at this point in time, is that God has a purpose in this. Boy, I sometimes wonder what the heck it is, but he has a purpose.
Yeah, I think it does help. We were talking about this with Ken Buck earlier about having kind of an eternal perspective, knowing that this moment in time is not the only thing that there is, but there is much more to the picture. As a member of Congress, having served in the assembly there in North Carolina, what role does that Christian faith that you have play in bringing you to, you know, in the policy decisions? I mean, you got to make some tough decisions. You've got to deal with some adverse situations. You've got a very polarized environment on Capitol Hill, politically speaking. So what role does your faith play in instructing you how to navigate that?
Well, it's the foundation, Tony. It's the foundation from which all decisions, all judgments that I have to come to is from. You know, I really don't understand how people who don't have a faith, what dividing rod, what level of reasoning do they have to make decisions? Because if you don't have a faith and if you believe everything just occurs because this is only what it is, then every decision is a new one. You know, if you have a faith in our Lord, if you have a faith in the belief that he is going to be ultimately in charge of all that we do, then you have a basis on which to make every decision. If you don't, then everything is random. And I really feel sorry, to be very honest with you, for those people, because how challenging that would be for every decision that you have to make to find a new foundation from which to make it.
Yeah,
now, our Lord teaches us a very clear one.
That is so true. And, of course, Scripture speaks to this over and over where he says, walk in my ways. You know, it's not we're not like programmed like robots. We have to seek his will, but he gives us he gives us the clues. He lays out there the roadmap for us. And yes, it oftentimes puts us in conflict with the broader culture, but there's a peace that comes from walking in obedience to him. And in the end, we often see how that works out much better for those who stick to the Lord's path.
It is, you're exactly right. It is a piece. It is a piece that is challenged sometimes because we have to make hard decisions. We have to deal in adverse situations and deal with challenging events. but it is an ultimate peace, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the ultimate peace in God that gives us the ability to understand and the realization that the decisions we make have a firm foundation in faith.
So Dr. Murphy, I want to ask you this question, because in my 17 years here at the Family Research Council, after serving in office in Louisiana, I've noticed a trend in the last decade and a half. A lot of doctors have come to Washington, D.C., and I'm talking about on the Republican side in particular, that and many of them believers who have done like you, have been on many medical missionary trips. And my daughter's in the medical profession. She is a trauma nurse. And I know people are drawn a lot of people are drawn to that out of compassion for their fellow human being, and they want to serve. So I'm just curious. I want to ask you this question. Having been a doctor, having served in that way and helping people and helping them get better, coming to Congress, I mean, that's a big difference. I mean, you're moving from being a doctor where people love you and appreciate you to Congress where people, I mean, the polling levels of Congress are about 12%, not the highest in the world.
Yeah, you're right, Tony. And, you know, it's funny, my staff has asked me, a lot of folks ask me, well, what do you prefer to be called, congressman or doctor? And I bring up that point about approval ratings, that physicians are thought of much more highly than members of Congress, and so call me Dr. Murphy. But, you know, going back to that fact, how did I end up in politics? This was a totally, totally a God thing. It was nothing where I raised my hand and said, I want to do this. I truly believe God led us into this. I ended up in the state legislature not because I ran. It was because I was appointed because of a vacancy, and people asked me to do it. And to be very honest with you, my wife and I fought against that. But we really, truly, after we prayed about it, felt that this was an avenue that God wanted us to pursue. And the same thing happened with Congress. You know, Walter Jones and I were good friends, and he asked me to prayerfully consider running when he was not going to run again. And then with his premature death, this opened the door, and then we prayed about it. And my wife and I just felt that this was a God thing where he asked us to serve. And what it looked like, we had no idea, but we just had to trust him.
You're listening to Washington Watch. This is our Friday Faith and Freedom edition of Washington Watch. My guest in this section of the program, Dr. Greg Murphy, congressman from North Carolina's 3rd Congressional District. And let me just ask you this question. You know, I kind of touched on this, but I want to go a little bit deeper in terms of, as you are one of the newer members of Congress, I know the challenges that you face. But from a personal perspective, any surprises, anything you said, wow, I had no idea this is what Congress was like or this is what it would be like?
Yeah, so, I mean, I get that question a lot. Is it what you thought it would be? And to be very honest, I just had a little taste of what being in politics was like from being in the state legislature. And to your point of doctors really being usually appreciated and loved, and the first day I put my name on a ballot or whatever, all of a sudden half my friends disappeared. But, you know, what I've been really, and unfortunately it's made me sad, is the divisiveness that instead of starting from do attitude that we work together, I found that during my tenure it's been in a can't do. We are not going to work together. I mean, it starts out in committee meetings with opening statements, immediately attacking the other side. I don't look at the world that way. You have to give me a reason to not want to work with you, whether you're Republican or Democrat. And that's what's disappointed me. I'm not going to be blemished. I'm not going to be tarred from that attitude. I'm going to continue that attitude, and hopefully that will infect other individuals to have that same approach.
It has become, without question, a much more polarized environment. I think that's not just in Washington, D.C. I know it's really kind of happened across the country. You know, even back in my home state of Louisiana, when I was in the legislature, the Republicans were in the extreme minority, and we all worked together. There was really no party divisions. It was more ideological, but even those were limited. And we've become a divided nation. And I personally, Dr. Murphy, think one of the things that historically has united us as a people is our Judeo-Christian understanding, that ethic. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody's been a believer, but it has been common ground for us. And I actually think that's why the the secularists have attacked that so intently, because it is the very thing that can pull us together.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Tony. You know, our founding fathers based our nation on Christian principles, but they also, you know, were great proponents of freedom of religion, of freedom of faith. And I do believe that it has been the left, and I'm just going to say the left, it has been their mantra to basically dismiss faith from our foundation of this country. And subsequently, when we have done that, you know, as you pointed out, the very structure and the very foundation of the union of people in our nation is threatened. And, you know, I'm going to not let that dissuade me. I'm not going to let it jade me, but I'm going to realize that that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
And to be very honest with you, I think it's Satan. I think it's the devil at work in this nation trying to tear it apart.
And all the more reason we must uphold that foundation, that those fundamental freedoms, that freedom of religion, and the way we, as we were talking about with Ken Buck earlier, the way we preserve it is we use it, we exercise it. Congressman Murphy, before we run out of time, and we're almost up against the end of the program, how can folks pray for you? We were talking about this earlier with Ken, the importance of prayer and just knowing that people are praying for you. For you personally, and also as you interact with other congressmen, tell our listeners the best way. What is it that we should agree with you on in prayer?
Well, I would ask for prayer for strength, for discernment, for optimism, for hope, for these things that you don't. I will tell you, you know, I lay awake a lot at night worrying about things, worrying about the future of this nation, worrying about what my children's future is going to be, and my children's children. I ask that people pray for hope, for optimism, but for strength to not allow allow Satan and allow the devil and allow evil forces to take control just because it's the easier thing to do. I ask for courage, and I ask for determination.
That's good. I 100% agree. To keep that optimism and to hold on to that courage. I'm often asked what keeps me awake at night. And it's not so much the challenges, but it's the lack of courage that I see in our leaders to face those challenges. And so I think courage, and that's one of the reasons we see that repeatedly in Scripture, be strong and of good courage. And Dr. Murphy, we certainly will encourage folks to pray to that end. And I want to thank you for taking time on this Friday to join us just for a kind of a personal conversation to encourage people to pray and give them a reason to pray by seeing that they have brothers and sisters serving them in our nation's capital.
Well, thank you, Tony. And I pray for you and your ministry. You're doing such a wonderful, wonderful service for our nation. And I thank all the listeners and all the prayers that they lift up. So God bless and stay safe.
All right, Dr. Greg Murphy, thanks so much. And folks, you can find out more about Dr. Murphy. Go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and you can follow the links over. But I do want to challenge you. The reason we're doing this Faith and Freedom Friday is I want you to hear the heart of the men and women who serve in our nation's capital. They're like you, just following the Lord, and they've been led into this walk for now, for this season, but let's uphold them in prayer. You heard Dr. Murphy's request. Pray that they would remain, they would have that hope and that optimism that comes in their walk with Christ, and they would have the courage to stand up and confront the cultural forces that are moving this nation in another direction. All right, again, the website, tonyperkins.com. Until next time. I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.
972-7234.